here as citizens of the planet.
World leaders at the UN General Assembly are discussing climate change, but some protesters say they're not doing enough. It's Thursday, September 26th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly in Washington. You're a part of the show. Join us on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, a 16-year-old climate change activist shames world leaders. U.S. President Donald Trump faces an impeachment inquiry, and Chinese police are helping Serbia manage tourists. It's all on today's VOA Asia. At the UN General Assembly on Wednesday, China urged U.S. President Donald Trump to listen to developing countries and oppose bullying. The reaction came after Trump criticized China's trade status. Trump was referring to complaints that China, which is the number two global economy and biggest trader, is abusing the leeway given to developing countries to subsidize exports or delay opening markets. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman called on Trump to meet China halfway in settling trade disputes. China has insisted it has the right to pursue development. Meanwhile, some 60 world leaders at the assembly met for a climate action summit. Their goal was to discuss ways to reduce carbon emissions. Trump briefly joined them, despite his skepticism of climate science. Saqibu Islam reports from the meeting.
Protesters have gathered in cities around the world in recent days to demand that leaders take more aggressive action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and halt the rise of carbon in atmosphere. Secretary General Antonio Guterres said his generation has failed in responsibility to protect the planet.
Our world's forests are on fire. As we meet today, thick smog is choking tens of thousands of hectares of forest in Indonesia. And fires are still raging in the Amazon, afflicting millions of acres of rainforest.
Video of Brazil's Amazon forest burning this year have raised concerns over the vulnerability of natural areas that pull carbon from atmosphere. Mayor Arthur Virgilio Neto, whose city, Manaus, lies in the middle of the blazes, called for action.
Main leaders in the world, if they don't take seriously this problem, we have a planet that maybe will not worse to be inhabited by us. It will be unbearable. We cannot say yes to everything that comes from ideas of President Donald Trump. I think he is not understanding that his position is very bad. It's very bad for the future of humanity.
The president has cast doubt on global warming and said efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions will hurt American workers and damage the fossil fuel industry. Despite his opposition, climate analyst David Wasko of World Resource Institute says climate policies continue in the United States at the local level.
Well, I think in the United States itself, we're continuing to see a quite substantial amount of action from cities, from states, and from business that, although it doesn't make up for what the federal government isn't doing, it can take us quite a ways and do a significant amount of good.
The Trump administration backed out of Paris Climate Agreement and rolled back scores of regulations over clean air and water in the United States. Despite those actions, Trump insisted last month at G7 summit that he continues to think of himself as an environmentalist.
And I think I know more about the environment than most people. I want clean air, I want clean water, I want a wealthy country, I want a spectacular country with jobs, with pensions, with so many things.
Other countries that rely on fossil fuel for critical electricity needs are also speaking at the summit. India, Indonesia, and China all are building more coal plants to meet their rapidly rising energy needs. David Wasko says there is still time for countries to take concrete action, but the window is closing.
2020 is the time when countries need to come forward with stronger commitments under the Paris Agreement And they also have an opportunity to come forward with strategies for 2050, how we're going to get on a zero emissions pathway.
We're here as citizens of the planet.
Climate activists hope that they can convince governments to move faster to reduce carbon emissions and vow that they will keep protesting to keep the pressure on. At the United Nations, Saqib al-Islam, VOA News.
These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. The Asian Development Bank trims the Asian outlook, citing trade wars and global slowdown. The U.S. has imposed fresh sanctions on Chinese entities related to Iran. Despite U.N. sanctions, North Korea is at work in Senegal. Record tourism levels are having a social and economic impact on Vietnam, and China's hospital ship aims to help people in emergencies. Expanded coverage of these stories are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Among the protesters at the UN was 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist Greta Thunberg. Thunberg has just been named a winner of the 2019 Right Livelihood Award, known as the Alternative Nobel Prize. Other young people have also been protesting around the world. Kathleen Strzok narrates this report.
Thousands of young people worldwide are demanding action about climate change, saying adults have shirked that responsibility.
I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope.
16-year-old Greta Thunberg delivered her message at this week's United Nations Climate Action Summit in New York, as students around the world spoke out in their own neighborhoods and communities.
We're here on the Climate March protest because in our school, I feel like there wasn't enough awareness, as in the main student body, there wasn't enough people that cared about this, and then now we want to voice our concern.
There are skeptics of climate change who don't believe in the dire warnings, including President Trump. And then there's the issue of children skipping school for these various climate protests.
Kids should go to school. That's what we're committed to. We don't support the idea of kids not going to school.
But others say teenagers such as Thunberg are exercising their democratic rights.
Civil engagement, civic education, one fundamental aspect of which in a democracy is to be able to take to the streets and demonstrate your dissatisfaction with your governmental action or inaction, is a key piece to any child's upbringing.
A poll conducted by the Washington Post and Kaiser Family Foundation shows that more than half of young people in the U.S. fear the negative impact climate change could have on their futures.
In fact, she is standing on the shoulders of dozens of children around the world who have brought lawsuits about climate change. Most of them have lost, a few of them have won.
Yet it's not about lawsuits or politics for some of the young protesters.
Climate change isn't a political issue, it's a fact. So I hope that the next president, whether Republican or Democratic, just addresses the issue and makes some sort of effort to fix it.
Thunberg and 15 other young people from 12 different countries have filed a suit at the UNICEF headquarters in New York against Argentina, Brazil, France, Germany and Turkey for being major carbon polluters. If they are successful, the United Nations will classify the climate crisis as a children's rights issue. For Sahar Majid, Kathleen Strzok, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia News, dozens of Hong Kong anti-government protesters appeared in court on Wednesday. They were charged with rioting and other offenses over violent clashes 2 months ago near China's main representative office. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Some political news from the United States. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi announced a formal impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump yesterday. That means a committee of lawmakers will now investigate to see whether grounds for impeachment exist. The move follows whistleblower allegations that Trump pressured the president of the Ukraine to investigate one of Trump's political rivals. Here's VOA's Catherine Gibson with reaction in Washington, D.C.
A turning point for the Trump presidency.
The House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
Trump now one step closer to becoming the fourth U.S. president to face impeachment proceedings. He did not deny withholding congressionally approved aid to Ukraine.
Those funds were paid. They were fully paid. But my complaint has always been, and I withhold again, and I'll continue to withhold until such time as Europe and other nations contribute to Ukraine, because they're not doing it.
The whistleblower revelation set off a cascade of House Democrats announcing support for impeachment.
We cannot delay. We must not wait. Now is the time to act.
Their frustration built to a breaking point after months of debate amongst Democrats if the president's actions were impeachable offenses.
There have been a lot of egregious acts, but there's nothing that compares to this. I mean, this is the president basically saying, yes, I colluded. What are you going to do about it?
Well, Trump's Capitol Hill ally said Pelosi's move was just a matter of words.
She cannot unilaterally decide we're in an impeachment inquiry. What she said today made no difference of what's been going on.
Senate Republicans did join Democrats in a vote pushing for the release of the whistleblower complaint.
The president does not comply with such a request from the Congress. He continues to obstruct Congress and flout the law. Donald Trump will leave Congress, in my view, no choice but to initiate impeachment. That would be a tragedy, but a tragedy of his own making.
A national security crisis, House Democrats said, should concern all Americans, even though the majority do not support impeachment.
I don't think a president should withhold aid from a country to get dirt on his opponents. That is unconstitutional, and this is our opportunity to make that very clear.
Congressional intelligence panels are set to hear from the whistleblower, who will be testifying later this week as the House moves forward with its investigations. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
Trump spoke to reporters on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly Wednesday about the phone call that prompted the impeachment inquiry. He said he supports the Ukrainian leader's effort to combat what he called massive corruption. He also doubled down on his accusations, implying that the son of his political rival also had suspect business dealings in China. Trump did not provide specifics to support his statements. Coming up, cricket cookies and playgrounds for the disabled. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. The first commercial flights from Beijing's new Daxing International Airport took off. The airport cost $63 billion to build, is roughly the size of 100 football fields, and is expected to become one of the world's busiest hubs. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. China is the world's largest exporter of consumer goods, but it is increasingly branching into other areas. For example, Beijing recently sent a contingent of policemen to Serbia to help local forces manage Chinese tourists. VOA's Sladetska Hoek reports.
Since last week, Chinese police officers have been patrolling tourist landmarks in Belgrade together with their Serbian counterparts. Serbian officials say the Chinese reinforcements are needed to help with the growing number of visitors from China, as well as the Chinese people living in Serbia.
We have set up a hotline for the Chinese tourists and the local Chinese people. If they need help, they can call the hotline. And according to our plan, we will invite our Serbian counterparts to the Chinese communities and the Chinese-founded companies and institutions.
Chinese policemen also are at hand at the Nikola Tesla airport and a Chinese shopping mall on the outskirts of Belgrade. Others have been deployed in the nearby towns of Novi Sad and Smederevo.
They have no authority. They just liaise between us and the tourists so we can communicate better.
Serbia has had close relations with China for many years. An estimated 1,400 Chinese people live in the nation's capital. Chinese President Xi Jinping visited Serbia in 2016. Earlier this year, the two countries signed several new agreements on cooperation, one including China's help with the construction of a metro network in Belgrade to start next year. The project is part of China's Belt and Road Initiative, aimed at developing trade links for Chinese companies. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić joined Chinese Ambassador Chen Bo in Belgrade on Saturday at a ceremony marking the 70th anniversary of the Communist China.
Chinese-Serbian friendship will last forever. Thanks to China for all it has done for Serbia. Long live Serbia. Long live China.
China says its Belt and Road Initiative is an effort to enhance regional connectivity along the ancient Silk Road trade route. Critics say it is a push for Chinese dominance in global affairs through trade. Zlatica Hoek, VOA News, Washington.
This news break from VOA Asia. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed legislation to hold senior Myanmar leaders accountable for crimes committed against Rohingya and other ethnic minorities. The Burma Act was approved on Tuesday and now goes to the Senate. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, farmers in Thailand have inspired farmers in Kenya to raise crickets. Many academics and activists approve. They say cultivating insects as food can improve land use, reduce global warming, and maybe even prevent global unrest. That's a tall order for a little cricket, but the farmers may be onto something. Ruud Elmendorp reports from Kenya.
Nothing unusual about these loaves of bread, but there is a difference. This bread was baked using flour derived from crickets. In Kisumu, Kenya, 54-year-old farmer Charles Odira is rearing insects usually known for their chirping. He got the idea to raise them for food after visiting a farming fair in Thailand.
When I went there and I saw how they were rearing crickets there, how it was helping the poor, the malnourished, how it was bringing income to the farmers. Then when I came back a cricket farmer.
Odira started with 50 crickets he trapped in the wild. Now, a few years later, he has a colony of up to 300,000 insects. They thrive on chicken feed and plant leftovers. According to scientists at the International Center of Insect Physiology and Ecology in Nairobi, or ICEPE, crickets are good for human consumption.
Crickets are very rich in protein, ranging between 62 to 65%, which is superior to that of meat, which ranges between 25 to 30%. Insect protein will be very good for lactating mothers, as well as children less than 5 years.
Odira has built a network of 100 cricket farmers, but there is a threat. A bacterial infection nearly obliterated the colonies in the whole region, and farmers had to start again from scratch. They are recovering with support of ICEPE. The benefits of cricket farming prompted the Food and Land Usage Coalition to propose raising insects as a way to tackle food shortages. Scientists at ISIPA agree with some conditions.
The traditional food system, which was based on wild harvesting, has to be enhanced or improved with the new mass rearing techniques, with better understanding on the safety of these insects, so that it can be taken up by large communities.
And because of less intensive farming methods, crickets help reduce global warming, according to the Food and Land Usage Coalition. The crickets in Odira's farm are eaten or end up in bread and cookies. Fred Odhiambo has various reasons for buying it.
I love this bread because it gives me more energy than normal bread.
And as Odhiambo, for one, enjoys his cricket breakfast to the fullest, experts say it might one day feed many and help prevent conflicts in parts of the world where the population is growing and food resources are becoming more scarce. Ruth Almendorp for VOA News, Kisumu, Kenya.
If you have kids in your life, you probably know that playgrounds have changed to better accommodate the disabled. Now, the U.S. state of California has the first one entirely designed for children with special needs. Anna Rice narrates the story.
In 2008, Olenka Villarreal, an immigrant from Ukraine who moved to California, realized her youngest daughter, Eva, a special needs child, was having a hard time at the playground. The Americans with Disabilities Act mandates that playgrounds in the U.S. be accessible to children with disabilities. But the reality is that sometimes parks do the bare minimum.
It's done in a way that if you put a wheelchair here, you're going to tip over.
Wheels get stuck in wood chips, and a lot of slides are too steep to climb without help.
They usually sit here while other kids run up and down past them because they cannot lift themselves up alone.
So Villarreal went to the city authorities, who gave her some land for an inclusive playground, if Villarreal could build it. And she did. For 7 years, together with her team, she worked to raise the required $4 million. And in 2015, the playground was opened.
Welcome to the magical bridge playground.
The new inclusive playground is made of wood, and there's a reason for it.
It's made of wood for children who cannot see or have autism. Feeling and touching wood is important for them.
There's a little house big enough for kids and parents, in case children don't feel comfortable playing by themselves. And there's a special spot for the visually impaired, or those with behavioral and cognitive disorders. The sounds alternate every 30 seconds, and children feel like they're splashing in puddles, walking on snow, fallen leaves, or ice. And this slide is Villarreal's invention, inspired by her daughter Eva.
Wheelchair-bound children can slide down and wait for their parents or siblings to bring them the wheelchair.
Building the park took 5 years and numerous consultations with parents, psychologists, architects, and landscape artists. But when the playground opened in 2015, it immediately became a hit, with over 25,000 people visiting it every month. Nidmala Givati is blind. She came to California from Nepal to get inspired and create something similar at home.
There are so many tactile things and that you could feel, touch, sense and learn. Playground like this is very important because you can be out of the home and you have some external exposure to the external environment. You make friends.
It was such a success, Olenka decided to expand. And in 2016, Villarreal and her team started the Magical Bridge Foundation that raises funds to help other communities build inclusive playgrounds.
This year, we were invited to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Our playground was an example of an all-inclusive playground.
Driven by the success of Magical Bridge, local authorities in California are building 5 more all-inclusive playgrounds in the state. For Christina Shevchenko in Palo Alto, California, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. Download our podcast and take VOA Asia with you. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Keith Holmes, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and the VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and today we say goodbye to our intern, Michelle. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly in Washington. Enjoy your day.